Yes, praise the Lord. We'll try to pick up a little bit where we left off the last time. We were in the book of Malachi, and I guess we can call this a Bible study or whatever you want to call it. Book of Malachi, and we were going to the fourth chapter and starting the first verse. Behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. It shall leave them neither root nor branch. And then we'll read the fifth verse here too, and we'll get to repeat this again. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, I'm just thinking about this, the term that we have here, the day of the Lord. I think we need to define these things. How many of you know, are familiar with the term, the Lord's Day?
Yes.
What does it mean? Well, in... Yeah, most people think of the Lord's Day as the seventh day. The seventh day, the Lord's Day. But now when we come to the term, the day of the Lord, what are we talking about?
Judgment. Actually, the seventh day is rest.
The seventh day, yeah, the seventh day is actually rest.
And then the day of the Lord is... is coming in judgment.
And the day of the Lord is a day of judgment, right?
Yeah.
So, the Lord's Day, specifically in reference to a specific day, is a 24-hour day, right?
Yeah.
24-hour in our clock keeping anyway. And In the way the Lord counted days, starting in the Garden of Eden, starting with creation, it says in the evening and the morning were the first day. So our day starts how? We start our day, well, we start our day by looking at the clock, don't we? When does Monday come? Midnight, 12:01 or something, begins midnight, right? It begins a new day. My day starts when I wake up. If I'm sleeping, it's still the night before. But in creation, the day started when the sun went down. And it's kind of interesting when you look at the order of creation. What was created on the sixth day?
Man.
Well, what else besides man?
Animals.
Animals and man. And it would appear that man being Adam, Eve wasn't there with him yet, that the very last thing that God created on the sixth day, after all the animals, you know, was man. And so, while it's still daylight, here he gets all the clay in order and breathes in him the breath of life, and now he's a different creature. He's different from all the animals, and just then God leaves him, and the sun goes down. And so, what is the first thing that man? Basically, the first hours of man's life, what did he see? Darkness. I mean, he saw a little light, that was the last of it, and the day was gone. The sixth day ended with his creation. And so now the seventh day has begun, and it's a day of darkness, right? And I don't know how many hours. Let's assume that he was somewhere near the Creator, or I don't know, the Middle East is...
Equator.
What did I say?
Creator.
Creator. Equator, yeah. So let's say 12 hours of daylight, 12 hours of night. So now for 12 hours, the man, he hears animals, he hears cows, he hears lions, and it's dark. And okay, there's a moon, he can see a little bit, but what happened to that light? You know, when I got here, the light is gone. So we're talking about a 24-hour period of time, the Lord's day. Now, the day of the Lord is what Malachi is talking about here. And it's what we've been talking about for quite a while. The day of the Lord is a day of judgment. All right. Now, there have been times of judgment before, but this, what we're talking about here, is an end time period of judgment. And in particular, what Malachi seems to be describing, and also in the New Testament as well, we're talking about actually a period of time that I'm going to say a 7.5-year period of time. So this day of the Lord is not just a day, as in 24 hours, but it is a 7.5-year period of time. Now, inasmuch as Peter said that a day with the Lord is as what?
1,000 years.
1,000 years.
1,000 years as a day.
And 1,000 years as one day. So we see that God has another calendar of some sort going, in which I believe there's going to be a 1,000-year period of rest. All right? It's called the millennium. And however, the coming in of this millennium is going to come in with the day of the Lord coming at the front of this thing. And also, my understanding is that the ministry of an Elijah company, I'll say the word company, I don't think it's just one man, the ministry, or just two men, it's a company, the ministry of an Elijah is going to come in on the very front edge of this day of the Lord. Okay? So let's take a look at this. For behold, the day cometh. Now this day that Malachi is talking about, yes, it has to have a point of which it comes. And while we're at it here, let's just look at this thing. This what is going to come suddenly and without warning? Now where did we read that? Chapter 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord. So there's a sudden beginning, a sudden coming of the Lord. But you see, when the teaching of the church, I'll say in quotes, the church system, has the coming of the Lord, there's only one coming. But I understand from what we read, there are several definitions of the coming of the Lord, and they don't coincide with one another. They don't agree with one another. So there has to be, I believe, more than one coming. So here in Malachi, it says that his coming will be sudden and unexpected. We can find, let's look at a couple of other passages that talk about the day of the Lord coming. Let's look at Luke 21. I wasn't going to go to Luke 21, but let's do it. And 34, I think. It says here, and take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. Does anybody know what surfeiting is?
says carousing.
In other words, it's not surfing on the ocean. Okay. With carousing and drunkenness. You know, there's people that do a lot of carousing and drunkenness. It's a lifestyle. I don't know, maybe you knew people that used to do that. And drunkenness and the cares of this life. All right, so it isn't just carousing and drunkenness, it's people getting over-involved in the cares of this life. What are the cares of this life? I mean, they're all legitimate cares, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Give me some examples. Oh, what about my kids, oh Lord? Oh, I'm so worried about my kids, you know.
Job.
Oh, my job.
Taking care of the house.
My income, my house, you know. And these are, you know, we have to take care of our things. But he said, don't be overcharged. In other words, don't be over...
Zealous.
There you go. It's a good word, Rita. Overzealous. Cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. In other words, you're going to be just bobbing along, doing your thing, and all of a sudden something's going to happen. Here goes this little rabbit. He's just bobbing along, and all of a sudden he hits the snare that little boy put to catch him. Whoop! And next thing you know, he's hanging there from a wire, from a tree. He got caught in the trap. He says, "For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of God." Now he's saying that there's a possibility of escape. How are you going to escape? How are you going? In other words, you're not going to escape the trouble, but you're going to escape the snare of being caught in it. How are you going to do that?
By watching
and praying. Okay. In other words, you are aware of what's going on in the world. You're not going to join the crowds that are going to riot and demonstrate and carry the signs up and down the street and go to the governor's house or the mayor's house and throw rocks at his house or whatever. No, you're not going to be involved in those things. You know, because you know what's happening. You know that this is all part of the coming of the day of the Lord. There's a couple of other verses about this suddenness. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Just a couple of verses there. This is a real good one. Real good one. "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord..." Here he's using that phrase, "the day of the Lord." "The day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night." Now this is again, thieves generally come unexpected, right? Anybody know the thief sending you an email or a text or something saying, "Hey, I'm going to be robbing your house tonight"? No, they don't do that. Somebody told me, though, that in Nigeria, there were thieves that did that. In other words, they're warning you, "Get out or we're going to kill you." It's very rare. Thieves do not send a notice that they're going to rob your house. If I had a notice that my house was going to be robbed, and I knew that it was going to happen, what would I do? No, really. What would I do?
You'd set up an ambushment.
Yeah.
You'd be ready for them.
I'd be ready for them. I mean, I'd call my friends, the cops, if I have any cops that are friends, say, "Hey, listen..." I'd call all my nephews together. I have some big, healthy, strong nephews, you know. Brothers, if I have strong, healthy brothers, I'd call Jeremy to help, you know, be on guard. I'd call guys like that, and I'd say, "Hey, listen, whatever you've got here, if you've got some weapon or something, bring it along, because we want to deter these fellows. Whatever we can do, we're not going to let our house be robbed." Okay?
I got a funny picture of a huge glue trap
Oh, a glue trap. Yeah, those things that catch rats and mice. Boy, did you ever catch a mouse in one of those?
I got caught.
Sticky, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't get out of them. You can't get them out. They're designed to be thrown away. There's no way you can get that mouse out of that thing again. That is real glue. Yeah, okay, so you'd set a trap and a snare, all right? So, but you know perfectly well. See, Paul writing to Thessalonians, he's saying that you know perfectly, this is what's going to happen to them, for they will be taken unawares, but not you. All right, so let me go back here, and we're going to see what is this day of the Lord all about. The day of the Lord cometh, for the day cometh. See, I'm adding the word day of the Lord. This is Malachi. For the day cometh, and I'm going to say this means the day of the Lord. For the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. Now, what term is that? Is that just, oh, it's global warming, you know, the temperature's 90 degrees, temperature's 100 degrees, temperature in Death Valley hit, what did they say, the temperature in Death Valley hit 130 this year? Yeah. Probably a world record, they're thinking. Well, I think it was almost 130 in India that time that I was there. Oh, my goodness. I didn't know if we were going to live through it. And nobody had to tell me to keep drinking. But is that what the Lord, is that what it means? The day of the Lord shall burn as an oven. Does it mean high temperatures? I don't think so. The day of the Lord burn like an oven can be in the middle of winter. What is it that makes your life burn like an oven?
Tribulation.
Have you ever been through a tribulation where you felt like your life was burning? You felt the heat, the pressure? And what does all this heat and all this trouble and all this pressure, what does it do to you?
It can do two things.
All right, Rita says it does two things.
It can do
one of two things. All right, what are the two?
It'll either make you bitter.
Bitter?
Hard. Or it will change you if you yield to it.
Bitter or better?
Yes.
Right.
You have a choice.
Purge you.
To make you like Jesus.
Now, is God in control of this process?
Yes.
And what is his purpose?
To make you like him.
Is this necessary?
To bring forth fruit, he wants it.
Is this necessary?
Yes.
Lord, is this necessary? Do we have to go through this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I remember very clearly. Very clearly. I'm 38 or 39, somewhere in there. And it was hot. It was really hot. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, can you give me a break? I can't take this heat. I mean, this pressure. Look, you've torn my life apart. I mean, you've given me a difficult job here. I didn't realize this place was in such financial difficulty that you sent me up to run the place, and I'm going to get blamed if the thing goes bankrupt. And now you want me to go and preach your word to God? I don't, my soul is hurting too much. I can't do it. Give me a break. Is this necessary, Lord? And this is, you've heard the story before, I don't need to tell it again. And I saw the hand reach out and take the lever of this little burner and turn it 90 degrees and the heat was gone. It was heat, it was pressure. Now, I can remember a time too, long before this, and I'm going to admit what I was like. I remember the day very well. Everything was going bad. I mean, I had a pump in my basement. This is my house up near Glens Falls. There was a pump in the basement. It was one of those old piston pumps, I guess it was. It flip, 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 flip. And there's a little valve that would close, you know, each time. I forget how it worked. I come home from church one day, and the pump is pumping happily away, filling my basement. I said, oh no, oh no, I don't need this. So I'm working on it. I'm not Joe Mechanic, but I'm working on it. I'm getting it together. And I don't know, something else goes wrong in the house, in the family. Somebody says something that other people come. Then the boss has something that he's demanding of you that you can't give him. And I remember I get in the car and I go somewhere, I don't know where it was, some little strip mall. I pull up in front of the thing and get out of the car, and the front tire is flatter than a doornail. I mean, flatter than a pancake. And I go to the trunk, and if there is a spare there, it's flat. And it's starting to snow. And I don't have AAA. I got out beside the car, and I go like this. I mean, there was nobody around. I looked around, and I said, God, I can't take anymore. Would you believe that was me?
Yes, of course. Why not?
That was a long time ago.
Hey, everybody is human. Everybody.
Well, yeah, it was me. It was me. You know what? Somehow I got the problem solved. I didn't have to go through all that. It was not necessary. It didn't gain me anything. You know what I mean?
So what?
Having a hissy fit didn't get me anywhere.
Feels good at the time.
Yeah, my carnal man was enjoying the hissy fit.
Couldn't do anything else though.
Well, yeah, I could. I could start doing what I needed to do. Call somebody. Call a friend. Oh, there were no cell phones in those days.
The Lord is.
You had to go into some place and ask, "Can I use your phone?" People used to let you do that, you know, years ago. Oh, you're in trouble? Yeah, come on in, use the phone. So we got the problem resolved. But what was it doing? It was exposing a carnal man in me. It exposed an impatient, what else? Give me some other words.
Frustrated,
impatient man that I was. Now, what I needed to do was, what I needed to do, which I wasn't doing, is saying, God, I think I'm out of strength. I'm out of patience. You're going to have to help me here because I don't know where to turn now. And you know what? He would tell you what to do. He would show you what to do. But it does other things to you too. It does things. Let's suppose you've got some hatred in you. Let's suppose you've got some animosity toward people, toward somebody. Let's suppose that you just don't like them. Is it going to come out?
Sure, of course.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And since it comes out, what do you do about it?
Work on everything away.
See, this is God. God is sitting. Let me go here. It says here, it's back in the third chapter. Yeah, here it is. I want to go back. Verse 2 of the third chapter. But who shall abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Now, refining fire has a purpose. The purpose is to purify the gold, or whatever it is. Silver. Fuller's soap. We don't know what fullers are. They used to have special people called fullers years ago, because average people didn't have wash machines and Tide and bleach and all that kind of thing. If they wanted to get their clothes really clean, they had to send it to a fuller. And the fuller had all these methods of getting your clothes clean. So you want to get cleaned up. Here's what this here's what this here's what this heat and fire is all about. It says here, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall what?
Sit.
He's sitting. And he's sitting and he's watching the fire. And he's turning it up a little bit. And he takes the little thingy that scoops the stuff off the top. Every now and then he scoops a little off the top. And he's just sitting there. He's just taking his time. How long is this going to take, Lord? Can we get it over with? Can we be quick about it? You know what I said to the Lord one time? Mm-hmm. This is confession time. I said, why don't you just tell me what you want?
Oh, no.
Just tell me what I'm doing wrong. Just let me, you know, write it out for me and I'll quit. I'll quit doing whatever you don't like. And I'll do whatever you want. Just why do you have to put me through this? I can understand if you'll just talk. No, I don't want to go through this fire. I don't want to go through this heat. What good is it doing me? What I'm saying is, all right, you don't like the way. Well, let me. I'll have to find some hypothetical. Oh, you don't like the way I swear every time I get thus and thus. I'll quit it. Will that satisfy you, Lord? No. Why? Because it's still in you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That thing is still in you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I've stopped doing it.
He wants a thorough...
No, but it's still in you.
He wants a thorough cleaning.
Okay, God. I'll quit chasing wild heifers. I won't do it anymore. Oh, but the desire to do it is still in you. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's still there. But I said I'll quit. No, that's not... See, God isn't just looking for you to force a change in your doing, in your actions. What he wants is something in your heart that you don't even... You have no interest in doing that anymore. I'll quit buying those bad magazines. I'll quit. I won't even look. No, you still want them. All right, Lord, burn it out of me.
There's a word in Proverbs. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer.
Yeah, you see, God's methods are different than ours. What we want, what we think, and this is the way the social system goes. Psychology. What's a psychologist want you to do? He wants you to change your behavior. Oh, I don't do that anymore. Oh, he's rehabilitated. He can go out now. He's rehabilitated. He's well. He doesn't do that anymore. Yeah, but it's still in him. I don't drink anymore. Yeah, but you still want to. You remember the story about the preacher that was an alcoholic? I remember this, Phil. I heard the man's testimony. I'll never forget the man's testimony. He was saved from the bars, the honky tonk, and then it was his life. He was a honky tonk hillbilly, you know, whatever, cowboy, and he got saved. And so he quit all that, and he got to preaching. He got a job as a preacher, and he said he was in his car one day. I don't know if the windows were all open, the top was down, or something. He went through the city, and there was a stoplight, and it was summertime, and the doors were open of this saloon right there. The doors were open, and the music was coming out. And he was right there, and the smells were coming out, wafting over his car. And he said, I had all I could do. I wanted to go in there. I wanted the worst way to be part of the music, to dance with the girls that were in there, to do what I used to do, to listen to that music, you know. Hank... cowboy or whoever, you know. I wanted it. And he realized, he said, you know what? I never got deliverance from that. I quit doing it. But the spirit of that stuff was still in me. So what is the purpose of all this heat and this day of judgment? What is God trying to do?
Change our nature.
God wants to purge the earth, doesn't he? And there's going to be either one... What did you say, Rita? There's going to be either one response or the other.
That's right.
Either you're going to yield to it and you're going to cry out to God and you're going to say, oh God, please have mercy on me. Change me. That nature is still in me. I want it out of me. I've quit this, I've quit that, I don't do this anymore, I don't do that anymore, I don't look this way, I don't look that way. I'm a good guy now, right, Lord? See, I told the Lord I didn't deserve to have a heart attack. I said, look how good I am. Look, I don't smoke, I don't this, I don't that. I don't do all those things that are supposed to be dangerous. And then I found out, you know what? I'm proud. Oh my goodness, how are you going to get proud out of me? By humbling you. By humiliating you. That's God's job, you know. That's not your job to do that to somebody else. It's God's job. All right, so he sits as a refiner and to purify the sons of Levi. Who are the sons of Levi?
Two of them.
Who are they?
Well, let's talk about contemporary. The born-again Christians are the sons of Levi, but also, we can't deny the root. The sons of Levi were the sons of Levi.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. There's two. Two exist.
Yeah. So no, the sons of Levi were the ministry, the priesthood. And God is going to deal with the ministry as well as the average Joe, shall we say. Yeah, there's still ministry in God's house. He isn't against it. Now let's go to a few other verses. I promised to look at a few others. Oh, yeah, I want to look at Matthew 24. And again, before we quit here, Matthew 24, and we're going to go to verse, it's right here in the middle of the page, verse 29. Oh, let's go to verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Why is he referring to lightning here?
Sudden.
Well, it's not just that it's sudden and quick. There's something else about lightning. And that is that it really shines. I mean, you can see it from one end to the other, can't you? It's not a little tiny light bulb. It is a bright, very bright, powerful. All right? So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now this is the parousia. This is the final coming. This is not just his appearing when he shall appear. This is not the beginning of the 7.5 years. This is the end of the 7.5 years now. All right. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, is that a secret, unexpected coming? No, there's nothing secret about that. Every eye shall see as the lightning flashes. Everybody's going to see that lightning flash. You know, that's how brilliant it's going to be.
And frightening.
And frightening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is not unexpected. This is not unexpected. He tells when it's going to happen. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. And he's talking about the sun not shining, the moon not shining, the stars falling. No, this is spiritual language. In other words, the light of the gospel has gone out. I mean, people don't dare preach. Everybody that lifts their voice is going to be arrested. The moon, the church can't talk. The light of God is gone. The big men of God have all fallen. The stars have all fallen. Immediately, and then when it's at its absolute total worst. So it's not unexpected. He gives it here. Yeah, it'll be unexpected to the world. But you can say, where's it going to happen? It's going to happen right here at the end. Immediately after the tribulation. But you see, there's things that are going to happen at the beginning of that. At the beginning of that, it says, he shall come suddenly to his temple. Sudden, unexpected. There's sudden, unexpected coming, and then there's the secret coming. When there's the secret coming, when nobody knows, nobody. Oh, did he come to his temple? Oh, I didn't see him. You know. But then there's this open coming where every eye is going to see.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, we're talking about the day of the Lord. So let me go back now to finish this in Malachi. Let me go to Revelation chapter 6. Because I think this relates to some of the things we're talking about. The Revelation chapter 6 now is the opening of the sixth seal. Well, it's actually the opening of all the seals, but let me start in verse 12. Now, it says, "And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood." What are we talking about? Didn't Jesus say this? The sixth seal. There's only one more after the sixth, right? We're coming to the end. You've got your seals, you've got your trumpets, and you've got your vials. The seal is what? Or the opening of a seal is what? The opening of the seal is opening a revelation. Something that's been hidden, and now it's opened up. So this is the opening of revelation. The trumpet is the announcement. Some of the same things are being announced. And then the pouring out of the bowls is the actual action of it coming to pass. So here's the revelation. And it says, "I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake." And by the way, there are natural earthquakes and there are spiritual earthquakes. Right? A natural earthquake. I believe there's going to be a natural earthquake such as the earth has never, ever seen before. Well, maybe in the days of Noah. Because I believe there were mighty, terrible earthquakes in the days of Noah when the water was upon the earth. I actually believe that there was an earthquake that opened up the fountains of the great deep and brought the water up from beneath as well. Okay? Great earthquake and a spiritual earthquake. What is a spiritual earthquake? Something that shakes the earth. Our earth. Our carnal realm. Something is going to shake mankind such as mankind has never been shaken before. The earth, the carnal man. There's tremors in the earth already, aren't there? What's shaking these carnal men to get out there and riot and do the things they're doing? Something is shaking their earth. Yeah. It is. But not bad yet. This is a bad one. There was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The moon became as blood. Now, they didn't say the moon wasn't going to shine. The moon is blood. Now, that means that blood means what? Death. The church. The moon is the church. death, bloodshed on the saints of God. Tribulation, persecution. Oh, it happened before, but this is going to be worse. This is big time worse. Amen. And the stars of heaven fell unto earth. Stars, heaven, spiritual, earth, carnal. Stars, men. Men fell from a spiritual place to an earthly, carnal place of thinking and preaching. And they began to preach it. I think they're falling already. The falling of stars is nothing new. Amen? Even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. So there's a shaking going on. What does fig tree, by the way, what is the symbolism of the fig tree? Do you remember when the Lord, during his last week, when he was going back and forth into Jerusalem, and then he'd go back out of the city and stay in, was it Bethany? He'd stay overnight, and then he'd go back. And on the way into the city one day, he saw a fig tree. And he said, well, I'd like to get some figs off this tree, but there was nothing there. And so he cursed the tree. And he said, no man will ever gather figs of you again. You're done for. And he went into the city. And they went home at night, and it was kind of dark when they went home. But the next morning when they went in, was it Peter, one of the disciples, said, Lord, there's that fig tree that you cursed yesterday. That thing is dry. I mean, there's nothing on it. I mean, it looks like it's been dead for 10 years. What is he saying about the fig tree? The Lord is saying, look, I expect fruit from you. I expect fruit from my people. This fig tree is my people. And I'm not getting any fruit, and this is what's going to happen. I'm going to say to you, no man will ever get fruit from you again, ever. And you'll shrivel up just like that. That's a curse. That's a curse. Do you realize that only God can reverse a curse? He's going to reverse the curse on this earth, but he has to purge it and cleanse it. And you know what? There's not going to be left. What did it say over here? There's not going to be, in Malachi. Here, I'm going to switch back and forth here. He said that there will not be stubble, nor ash, nor what have you under our, let me, branch nor root, neither branch nor root of this thing. This earth is going to be cleansed, brethren. I mean, Trump is trying to clean up the swamp. I'll tell you, the Lord can clean that swamp up just like that. He's going to put fire to the swamp. And let's see. And they shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, you're not going to create the fire. You're not going to create the ashes, but you're going to be able to walk over the top of it when it's done. Because it'll all be under your feet. It won't be anymore. So, back here in Revelation 6. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. Come now. The sky can't depart. The sky is there. It can look like it departs. No, God isn't going to remove the sky. He's going to remove the spiritual powers that are controlling the heavens now. And they'll be rolled up just like you roll up a piece of scroll. So there's going to be big changes. Heaven departed. Amen? As a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. What are mountains and what are islands? What are mountains? Big corporations. big organizations, big mountains, big ones. Now this is natural and this is spiritual. There's some big spiritual organizations gone, just like that. Islands,
big obstacles,
gone. Big hindrances, gone. Islands, independent organizations, independent one-man shows, this is gone, all wiped out. Shaken, moved out of their places. Kings of the earth and great men and rich men. What do you think of when you think of kings of the earth, great men, rich men? Let's think about Russia for a minute. They have a king? Sure they do. His name is Putin. Who are the great men of Russia? The oligarchs. These are mighty, powerful, rich men. Billionaires. Yes, billionaires in a communist land. Yes. America, same thing. Kings, chiefs, generals, captains, mighty men. It says, and rich men. You know, there's rich men that are just plain powerful rich, and they don't have any political position, but oh my, they pull the strings. I keep hearing the name of some guy named Soros.
Oh boy.
Apparently a very rich, powerful man. They say he controls, pulls a lot of strings. Political. Very supportive of left causes, left-wing causes. Yeah, men like that. And there's men that you don't even know their name. And chief captains and mighty men. Okay, so we've got the big shots. And bondmen, slaves. And every free man. What happened? They hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Dens. Caves. You know that there are special caves and caverns that have been drilled in the earth and in mountains that are designed to hold the rich and famous. And the great leaders, the presidents, the kings, in case of an atomic attack. Am I right, John?
Colorado.
Yeah, Colorado's got some. Oh, I guess some of the whole mountain is
Montana.
Yeah, Colorado, Montana. Great holes have been drilled in the earth to preserve the worthy ones so that they can come back and start their life and they will still be the kings and the rulers. Listen to what's going to happen. It says they're going to go into these caves and caverns, hide themselves, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb." They're not going in there to avoid a nuclear attack. They're going in there because the brightness and the brilliance of the coming of the Lord is so bright. And their sin and their wickedness is so dark. This is why, brethren, this is why a wicked man cannot go to heaven. This is why hell is merciful to unrighteous men. When I first heard Seth say that, I said, "Hell is a mercy? Seth, how can that be?" He said, "Oh, brother, if you took a wicked man and put him in heaven, he would be the most miserable creature ever. He couldn't stand the brightness." You see, heaven is so bright that there is no lie in heaven. There is no deceit. And if you got in there and you were trying to pull a fast one and clever and deceit and lie, it would show, it would just be a trumpet sound throughout all of heaven. Whoa, where did that come from? How did he get in here? You see? And if this darkness is in your soul, what does it say about the Lord? There is no shadow of turning in him. There is not the slightest shadow. He is bright. He is transparent. You can see right through him. You ask him a question. Tell me about me. Oh, don't ask him that question.
Oh, yes.
He'll shine right through you. Oh, Lord, I didn't mean that. Please back off a little bit. No, really. If he came to you full on, you wouldn't be able to take it.
Too much.
There's too much darkness in us. And this is why he has to work it out little at a time, little by little, little by little. Little by little, he's changing me. If he changed you all of a sudden, one night, you wake up the next morning, you would not know who you were.
You couldn't.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't know who you were. Who am I?
That's right.
No, I'm not that guy. I'm somebody else. And you see, we have to be changed before we get to heaven. You hear that, Cody? You have to be changed before you get to heaven.
Grandma said I changed a lot the first time I came.
Yeah, you are being changed. You're not the same boy you were a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my, how you've changed.
It's true for all of us.
My, oh my, I can think of so many ways that you've changed. God is changing you. I'll tell you later.
Sometimes we don't see our own changes, especially as you grow in the Lord. You know, when you first come to know the Lord, the changes are more open, like alcohol gets off and lying and this and that and that. But when you grow in the Lord and you're walking with Him for years and years and years and years, you think, Lord, have I grown at all? And He's doing deeper work.
Well,
people can't help but lie.
Yeah, well, you see, there's things that you used to do.
Changes.
And one day you discover, I have no interest in that anymore. What happened to me? I used to like to do that. I mean, it wasn't wicked or wasn't anything like that. It's just that my interest has totally changed. I'm a different guy. You want an example, Cody?
Yeah.
I'll give you one example. All right. Yesterday, you picked up a daddy long leg spider, did you not?
Yes, I picked up a daddy long leg.
Yeah, you picked up. All right.
Pretty old eyes.
Yeah. All right. Now let's go back a year ago. You would walk into a room, and you would spot six daddy long leg spiders in the corner somewhere, and you wouldn't go in the room. You were so afraid. I had never seen anybody with such a fear.
I was in the shower before, because I'm not taking a shower.
Yeah, but the point is, you picked one up the other day, and you held it in your hand, and you knew it wasn't going to do you any harm.
I'm just holding it like this.
That's a little. I'm just giving one little example of how you change. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, this isn't a big thing. This isn't spiritual. It's just that you change.
But the fear is in the soul, and the thing you're overcoming is the fear.
You're getting delivered from a spirit of fear. And it didn't happen like this. It didn't happen because I went over and I said, I rebuke this spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. No. We worked on it little by little, and we overcame it, didn't we? Yes, okay, we won't go into that. There's still more to be done. There's still more to be done. All right, so they hid, amen, from the wrath. Fall on us and hide us from the face of the wrath of him that sitteth on the throne and the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? What did it say in Malachi? And who shall stand when he appeareth? So there's an appearance here now that's coming to the world, and the world isn't liking it at all. They are not liking the brightness and the change. They are not liking the changes that are coming upon the... Why? How did it happen? Did we all go and campaign and vote for new senators to put in new laws that outlawed this kind of sin and that kind of sin, and new police force to enforce this kind of sin and that kind of sin and arrest all the violators? No, that isn't what happened. Righteousness came into the world. Brightness, the appearance, the Lord began to appear in His body. And the world didn't like it at all. And they ran and they hid in rocks and they said, "Oh, hide us, it's too bright, it's too bright." The swamp creatures didn't like it.
Because the brightness, it's not just because it's light, it represents purity and undefilement.
Yeah, we got a little more time. Let me look at 2 Peter. Oh my, a couple things. Yeah, 2 Peter. Well, let me go to Daniel first. Then we'll go to 2 Peter. Daniel. Book of Daniel, chapter 6. Just a couple verses in chapter 6 here of Daniel that I thought were interesting. And that would be 6 verse 9. Oh boy, I got the wrong chapter. It must be 9. Well, it's the same subject here.
12, maybe?
Maybe it is 12. No, it's not 12. I know I found it there yesterday. I wrote the wrong number down.
May it turn many to righteousness, so signs. No.
Oh, it is. It's chapter 7. Of course, it's 7. 7. 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Now Daniel got a vision of the brightness of the throne. He saw the throne of God. Amen. He said a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. What is he describing? A fiery stream. Sounds like a flamethrower, doesn't it? A stream of fire. Thousands and thousands ministered to him. What do you get when you multiply 1,000 times 1,000? Who's good at math here? 1,000 times 1,000. It's 1,000,000. Right? They didn't have a word for 1,000,000. There was no word, so they had to say 1,000 times 1,000. And then he goes on, and 10,000 times 10,000. We're way off beyond 1,000,000 now, aren't we? Stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. You know what this word, the judgment was set, means? It means the court was seated. The court was seated. The judge was sitting behind the bench on his throne. Well, he didn't have a bench here. He just had a throne. The jury was there. The prosecutor, the whole court was all seated. He's talking about the court scene of the judgment. Amen? Judgment was set and the books were opened. Books. What do you have in books? What's the meaning of books? Book. First of all, book. If your name is in the book, it's the book of life. That's the only book that you need to worry about. Is your name in or is your name not in? Okay? Even the carnal, if your name is in the book. Now, if you're not born again, you're going to be judged by what? The books. In other words, everything you've ever done, thought, spoke, everything It's all in. Now, God doesn't keep natural books. He Himself is the total books of the world. So the books were opened, or the book. Oh, books. And beheld, I beheld then, because the voice of the great words which the horn spoke, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. See, he's going to get burnt too. You know, the Lord said, when he talked about the fall of Satan, he said there's a fire in him that's going to consume him. He's going to get burned up because of his own burning passions that he can't control, and he can't put them out, and he will not yield to God. So there, his passion for world dominion is eventually going to destroy him. He's going to take a step too big and too far, and it'll be the end. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Who's this one like the Son of Man? Jesus. Who's the Ancient of Days?
Father.
The throne of the Father. Daniel saw it all in a vision. He said they brought this Son of Man before the Ancient of Days. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Amen and amen.